example, so that to lay on the traffic, my apologies. We have received the following apologies. We have an apology from the minister. He's attending a portfolio committee, she's attending a cabinet committee meeting. Apology for Deputy Minister Mr. Makovo. He's attending agent work at National Office in Pretoria. These are the apologies that we have received. The agenda for today, we get briefing as a follow-up of the visit that we had in Limpopo, just to get the department to update us or give us a brief how they are going to give the people of Limpopo water, particularly because there is a source. And if I see you are alone and you are not the real culprit, so I don't know how you are going to. Where are other people?
Chair, the regional head of Limpopo is stuck at the welcome center. We left together. And the CEO of Lepele Running Water is with him. I was hoping that they would be here by now because they were at the welcome center at 9:15. I was thinking to go fetch them and see if we can get them here. Maybe they're getting lost.
Honourable members, we start or we give them 3 minutes to come in. 3 minutes. 5 minutes to allow them to come in. Thank you. Thank you very much for the idea. We can start. Well, I've indicated that this is part of the follow-up that we had on our oversight in COPO. And we invited the department and the Limpopo region to come and give us the how they are planning to give the people of Limpopo water, and because they are so more than 4 or 5, so just to bring up why people are not getting water, what they are doing. DG and your team, you are welcome. You can take us through your presentation.
Thank you very much, Honorable Chair, Honorable members of the Portfolio Committee, members of the media colleagues. We've been asked to present to the Portfolio Committee the regional, together with the regional component of the department, the water and sanitation access, or rather the provision of water to the residents of Limpopo, and focus specifically on Nandoni and the Huopdam. The second part of the presentation, Chair, which was a request which came later in the week, is to present the status of the water authorities, those municipalities in Limpopo that are entrusted with water and sanitation, the status of those municipalities with regard to the delivery of water and sanitation. So we'll break our presentation into two parts. The first part will focus on the Wob Dam and Nandoni Dam. The second part will focus on the status of water services in Limpopo and the performance of the Water Services Authority. And again, I want to state that we refer to Water Services Authority as municipalities who are responsible for water services. So our presentation will be in two components. We will be guided by yourselves as to whether you want us to present both of them or you want us to present the first part, engage with the first part, and then present the second part. Amongst ourselves, Chair, I have from the far left, I have Lerato Mkwena, who is our Chief Director responsible for grant management. The performance of the grant in the organization is administered by Lerato Mkwena and her team. Next to Lerato is Babalo Nyayaka, who is our Corporate Planning Chief Director. Before, and Leonardo Manas is acting DDG Infrastructure Program 3. And next to me is Lucy Kobe, who is our regional head in Limpopo. She will be leading us in delivering this presentation. And I have the CEO of the Repair Land and Water on my right, Phineas Lekodi. Lekodi is my colleague, who is the CEO of Repair Northern Water. Behind me, colleagues, I think you've met them. I don't want to take up much of your time. I think you've got all the colleagues behind me. I wanted to introduce those who are coming here from Sestra. Chair, I've stated the purpose of the presentation, and I'm not going to waste much of your time. I'm going to ask Lucy, who is our head in the region. She knows the business better than us, the business of Limpopo better than anybody else. We will support her throughout the presentation, but she's going to lead us. Over to you, Lucy. Yeah.
And we are also experiencing
high varying temperatures, which lead to high evaporation rates. And most of our rivers in the province flow through Italy, and this affects our availability of water. And the current water demand exceeds water supply in the province. That was just a close by our provincial state ISO. Water availability overview regarding the percentages of the dam. Nandoni, the full capacity is 166.1, and the current one is 167. And the percentage the previous year was 94.4. This week it was 102 the previous week, and the current week is 102 again. And the WOP also 93 last week, and the current week 93. And Nandoni is in Vembe District Municipality, and it has the design capacity of 166.11 cubic meters. And as at the 20th of February 2020, the dam was full at 102, and the WOP was full at 93%. Overview of the Nandoni Dam. Nandoni means the place of the iron smelting oven. Nandoni Dam was constructed way back in 1998 to August 2005. And the dam has a maximum height of 47 meters above the river bed. And the storage of the water in the dam commenced in 2004. And the dam receives water from Lubuhu River, which originates from Makato, the previously known as Lake Rikai. And this scheme supplies water to three water services authorities, to three district municipalities. The district is Vembe, which is the WSA, the Water Service Authority. Mopani is a district, is also a Water Service Authority. And Capricorn is a district, is also a Water Service Authority. So we call it a cross-border scheme. This is a map just indicating the areas where Nandoni is supplied, but let me go to the next slide, chairperson, to depict the schematic representation of the Nandoni Dam. Where's my pointer? Chairperson, this is the dam. This is the treatment work. Nandoni Water Treatment Works, which has got the capacity, design capacity of 60 megaliters a day, and it has got a potential to expand, to double it to 120 as it previously presented. So it is currently operating at 68%. These are the areas that is supplying. You can see this is 100% complete. Here is the pipeline, we call it NS20A. This pipeline is taking water to Twandoru through this reservoir, the university somewhere here, Bondo up then, Chakuma somewhere here, and the adjacent villages, Chabumukula, towards Donald Strait, Hospital, Kilafenet, and the Pohol. All the adjacent villages next to the township of Twandoru are benefiting from this reservoir. Then we come to this one, we call it NS20B. This one goes to north of Chambo, on the road to Punta Maria. You see the villages go to Punta Maria. They are about 11, if I'm not mistaken. Chairperson, we also in the plan included the names of the villages that are benefiting the pipeline here. So this is the area. Then you come down to this one, NR5, I think. This one supplies Malamulele east and west. It's supposed to be east and west. And then we come to this one, where we have got pipeline A, somewhere up to here, pipeline B, somewhere between the two. Then pipeline C. This is meant to supply an part of NR7. And it's sitting at the reservoir is sitting at the overall progress of 99%. This is supposed to supply to Omajosi as well as Mubuani on the road to in him. And then chapter 7, this is the pipeline that goes to Makati, which has said it's an old, the old river structure. Think of the water.
This pipeline, are they existing or planned?
There, some are existing, some are under construction, and we are going to give the details. Okay. This one is still under construction. This one, type A, which is somewhere from here to here, is done. B is 93%. C is 99%. So the overall completion progress is 97% under construction. So the rest are waiting. But we have got details to the station per project of each pipeline. And then the next slide actually is giving the details of what I was explaining on the schematic presentation. Maybe if you can allow me to jump in. The Kutumule Kutama bulk water supply project is that one that I said is supplied from Mwinkop Reservoir to Makati. It's still under construction, 10%. It started in October 2014, and the initial completion time frame was June 2019. The revised completion is November 2020. And the status of the project, it is sitting at an overall progress of 67.50, and those are the components D2, D1, D2, D22. And those are the percentages and estimated financials. The estimated cost of completion is 750 million, co-funded from MID from Zembe. And then expenditure since inception is 262 million. And the allocation for 1920 is 50 million, and we are sitting at the 2 million expenditure. And the beneficiaries are 8 settlements, and they are in the package details. And then the construction of still part of Kutama Sintumule, the construction of the conveyance bulk pipeline pump station reservoir from Nandoni Treatment Works to Buani, that is the NR7. It has started in 2014, and then the initial time frame to complete was 2019. It is revised to November 2020. And the status is that we are sitting at an overall progress of 97. Those are the type A, B, and C that I was explaining on the schematic representation. And the cost of completion is 46 million, and the allocation for 2021 is 115 million. The beneficiaries are areas under Mavambe, Wani, Mashau, Valdesia, as well as the entire Mule Kutama, including the prison in Makati. Nandoni Kansami pipeline project. This is the construction of a 49-kilometer dual bulk water pipeline from Nandoni to Malamlele area, including pump station. And then the start date was February 2016, initial completion time frame February 2018. Revised completion September 2020. We are sitting at an overall progress of 53.6%. And this is only limited to type A. And the estimated project cost to completion, 700 million. Expenditure since inception is 450 million. And the allocation for 2019-20 is 140 million. We are sitting at an expenditure of 59%, and beneficiaries is the to increase the water security to the 55 villages in Giani as well as the 7 villages in Malamulele, and the details of the names of the villages is in the page. Upgrading of Nandoni, I've already said we have got the initial design to expand it to 120 megaliters per day per person, and this is to augment, to be ready when the Nandoni Tsunsami pipeline is completed, then we should be able to give the people of Giano water from this source, and it's around 17 megaliters a day. So, completion, we are sitting at the planning stage, and the status is that the construction of the package plant is considered as an interim measure, so that we avail the 17 megaliters that I have spoken to, as well as the 23 megaliters to Kutama, Simtumule, and other areas. And then beneficiaries will be communities supplied by the pipelines under construction, Nandoni Tsunsami and Kutama, Simtumule project. That was Nandoni Chairperson. Now I'm coming to overview of the Dehuok Dam. The Dehuok Dam was constructed from June 2007 and officially opened in March 2014. The dam has the maximum height of 88 meters above sea level, and the storage of water in the dam commenced in September 2011, and it has a gross storage of 3.7 4 million cubic, and the dam receives water from Oliphant River. And the dam is part of 2A of the Oliphant River Water Resource Development Project, and the dam is also a cross-border steam chairperson. It's supposed to supply 4 water services authorities in the province: Polokwane Local Municipality, Mokalakwena Local Municipality, they are water service authorities, Sikukuni District as a water service authority, and Capricorn District as a water service authority. Capricorn is because of Lepele Mbumbi, the Lewa Homo, and the adjacent villages, Kawaya Sulikiela. Next slide. This is still the schematic representation of the Dehuok Dam. Here is the dam Capricorn. Pipeline phase 2C is the water from the dam to Steelport. 2D from Bekkersfort to Moyhoek treatment plant. D and F is the conduit that will augment the wear at Oliphant Port, which I said it will supply to Uwani and the Boahome and its adjacent villages. And 2B is the one from Flatbushiyalo to Mkopa. With the Dehuok, most of the pipelines are under construction. This, the completed one is C, and then I will give you the status in terms of the construction of the rest. 2C, which I said is from the Dehuok to Steelport and the first level flood 2, and this is for mining activities also in the Steelport. Supply area plan is for 40 settlements under level scheme. Number of settlements served, 2. Only Amalekana and Marsh. It's the treatment plant that is at the steel bridge, which is meant to be 12 megaliters, but is now operating at 2.5 megaliters, supplying those 2 villages. And the comment is that the bulk pipeline has been completed. Planning in progress to upgrade Hamalekana treatment work. You will recall that the reservoir in Gate 5 is about 25 megaliters, and this treatment work is the main one that has to supply those areas. Therefore, it needs upgrading up to 30 megaliters. And the secondary bulk projects are under construction, partially completed, saving 2 settlements. Phase 2 pipeline from Steelport to Moyhoek is planned to supply 17 settlements and Bekkersfort town under Moyhoek scheme. And then the number of settlements to be served is 2 settlements and Bekkersfort town supplied to Livalelo scheme in the interim. Project is at design phase. 2E from pipeline from Moyhoek to Haverford to supply Livalelo scheme for economic development and to serve as a conduit to Africa that it will augment the way at Olifant Sport. So far, currently, no settlement there, and the project is under planning. And then phase 2F is pipeline from Harvestport to Olifant, where I've already alluded to this part of the project is under planning and the project design. The bulk water infrastructure project is linked to the DWOC. 2D was meant to start March 2015, completion date March 2023. The project is at design phase, and then work packages have been prepared. Cost to completion 2.1 billion. Expenditure to take today, we are looking at 90 million. Challenges: delay in acquisition of land and removal of pipes from Didogo. Proposed solutions: expedite the signing of memorandum of understanding and also the EIA for removal of Didogo through milestone. 2D, 2E, and F. Start date 15 April, completion 2023. Of course, funding is a challenge. The project is sitting at design phase, 68% progress of the work completed for planning, and the cost of completion is 4 billion, expenditure to date 68 million. Challenges: the delay in acquisition of land. There are about 17 tribal authorities that are involved. 15 tribal authorities involved in this pipeline. And then I've already alluded to the funding, insufficient funding, and then finalizing of the memorandum of understanding with all those tribal authorities. And of course, we are to investigate the off-budget funding options for the project, because we have realized that our discussion is over. Molohook bulk water supply project is the construction of various bulk water pipes and a reservoir that will supply from Molohook treatment works to Bedford and communities on the route. The route is the road from Luan to the bulk from Luan to Bedford. And the bulk infrastructure consists of the following: phase 1 and 2. Pipeline from Mulu via the Hawthorne until the entrance of the Pegasus Tower. Phase 3, pipeline from Mashamutani via Porta to Transquiera. Mashamutani to Porta to Transquiera. Thank you. Bulk pipeline is phase 4, and the reservoir to supply water from the end of phase 2 to Bagasport, Manoge, Dresden, Alverton, minor upgrade of my oil treatment to maximize operation capacity to 12 megaliters per day. The status is that this project is under construction, and then the finances from phase 1 to 4G is 776 million. Expenditure since inception 2018-19, 532 million. 2019 financial year allocation 90 million. 1920 financial year 90 million. 1920 financial year expenditure 64 million. And the project timeline: initiated November 2007, anticipated completion March 2022. Completed phases: 1, 2, and 3, functional and deliver water to Bedford, Transquiera, and Bottasville. Phase 4, A and B, functional and supplying Bedford, and then phase 4, C and D, pipeline completed, functionality depends on the completion of the reservoir at Dresden and under phase 4E. In process, 4E, construction of pipeline and 1 megaliter reservoir extraction progress is at 95%. Completion planned March 2020. Phase 4, F1, construction of pipeline and 1 megaliter reservoir looking at the program, fiscal program of 72%, and plan completion, April 22. Phase 4, F2, construction of pipeline progress is sitting at 99%, plan to be completed March 2020. Phase 4, G1 and G2 pipeline and reservoir to Alberton, the progress is at 0%. Construction plans to start in April 2020, anticipated to be completed in March 2022. Project impact, water supply to Bellarford Town and the surrounding communities, which is 17 villages in total. Currently, three areas are benefiting from the completed phases, for example, Bellarford, Structure and Potterswood, which has got 14,622 households. And of course, the number of jobs created are 150 through the contract awarded. And then connected issues is unauthorized connection by businesses on the main road, community building of infrastructure on top of the completed bus pipeline. This is Mashanti and local research traditions and leaders and local structures are addressing the nature. Nevo bulk water supply project. The bulk water infrastructure will supply from dwarf to communities on the what we call Nevo Club. Phase 1, construction of the pipeline from Ramalekana, treatment works to the extent. Phase 2, river crossing from the dwarf pipeline towards Ramalekana treatment works. 3A, construction of pipeline from the extent to Loleta. 3B, construction of pipeline from the extent to 3C, construction of T-off pipeline from Makhemu, Umot, command reservoir and pipeline to supply to Umot area. Status, the project is under construction, project finances, cost completion, 427 million, and the contract has been awarded. And cumulative expenditure since inception till 2018-19 financial year was 350 million, 1920 financial allocation 30 million, 1920 expenditure 16.8 million, and project timeline initiated in 2007-8 financial year, anticipated completion date March 2021, and expect a local pipeline that needs rescoping and appointment of PSC as a contractor to commence the work following termination of non-performance of the contract. Completion phases, phase 2, currently delivering water to Ramalekana treatment work. In progress, phase 1, actual construction complete pending commissioning progress is at 98% and anticipated to be completed March 2021. Phase 3A, construction on hold due to the contractual issues with Sikukuni as our IA and service providers and contractors in the area. And then 3B, construction complete, pending commissioning to be done after completion of phase 1. And we are sitting at a fiscal progress of 99% and anticipated to be completed March 2021. 3C, in construction, however, the project today pending the procurement and delivery of the material pipes from China and Sikukuni in procurement process and to appoint and progress is sitting at 83% and is planned completion is March 2020. The impact water supply to the 40 villages in the Nevo Plateau, including Jainfest, Marulane, Skunot, Lobetal, and Hamalega. Currently, areas are benefiting from the completed phases. For example, Mashama, Kuparanto, and Maleka. And the number of households are 5.319 households. And of course, number of jobs created is 394. Connected issues is poor performance of contractors, and also contractor for pipeline one place under business rescue, delayed commissioning of the pipeline. Strategic challenges. Insufficient funding, And then community interruptions, especially in Gyan, to Nandoni to Nsami pipeline. 2B of the DWOF delayed due to protracted negotiations regarding co-funding from the private sector. Misalignment related to implementation of bulk reticulation of 7 settlements within Nandoni supply area, which are Makusule, Tambaulate, Salani, Mashele, Rotohua, Chitomboni, and Mapimele. Chairperson, allow me to pause here and hand over back to DG. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. The intention here was to deal specifically with issues of bulk water supply and reticulation in Limpopo. And we were asked to focus specifically on the two dams, the Wolf Dam and the Nandoni Dam. Chair, you would have noticed that one of the things that we are grappling with, and it came out very clearly in the presentation, is the budget constraints that we are faced with to expedite the bulk water pipeline. You would have noticed that some of the projects are running behind schedule, some of the projects are on schedule, but we would have loved a situation where we get all of these projects completed, because the problem that we are solving here is to reticulate to households. It's not enough to have the dam. That's the beginning, because you address the question of the source, the availability of water. You must have water first before you can talk about water services. You can't prioritize water services if there is no source, there is no water source. So we've got the dams, and this is the criticism that we receive all the time, that we've got the dams. We've got to walk them. People in Sekukuni will tell you that we have this water here, but we don't have access to water. We have this big dam in Nandoni Dam, but we don't have access to water. So all of these pipelines and all of this distribution, bulk distribution that we've presented here, it's all intended to help us to be able to reticulate to communities. The end state is reliable infrastructure for reticulation to households. That's the end state. It's not enough to have the dam. As you can see, we've got the work there. We've got all of these projects, 2D, 2B, 2C. They're all intended to make sure that we cover as many villages as possible. The second part, Chair, which is a little bit of a challenge, but that's our environment. We operate within a political environment. And this is where Deputy Minister and Minister and yourselves as well, you will have a role to play. And this has a lot to do with some of the challenges that we are encountered with on the ground. There was a question last week when we came here whether it is our responsibility as administrators to be engaging with the traditional leaders. And I think we attempted to answer that question, but that role is better played by our political principals. But the starting point is for administrators to do what they are supposed to do. In other words, we have been engaging with the communities there. I'm sure you have noted that there is a pipeline that goes through a number of traditional authorities. We have to engage with the traditional leaders in those communities. And then ministers and deputy ministers will be able to assist us where there is a deadlock. But the starting point is for us to be able to do the administrative work that is required. We follow the procedure. We do have a standard operating procedure on how we acquire servitudes in areas where we need servitudes. So there's political work that needs to be done in some areas. We also have experienced a challenge with the councillors in some areas. And I think there's more work that needs to be done there as well to get the councillors to be on our side. There was a PCC last week, which was called by the president, and all the mayors and the president of SALCA, and a number of MECs, the premiers, were in that meeting. And the intention is to make sure that where we have challenges, we can iron out those challenges through the district development model. We are of the view that if the district development model is implemented properly, it will assist us to sort out some of the challenges that we are facing in municipalities. The issue of co-funding of the strategic park, it works in some areas, but it doesn't work well in some areas. You heard my colleague Lucy talking about co-funding between the RBIC and the MIG. And that co-funding is needed if we were to prioritize bulk distribution, reticulation. So we have to find a better way of getting all of these grants to talk to each other. MIG is administered by COCTEL. RBIC is administered by ourselves. But the alignment of plans sometimes is not happening. In fact, most of the time, the alignment is not happening between these two grants, the MIG grant and the RBIC or even WISIC in some cases. I think it's also important to state, Chair, that even in areas where we have delivered this infrastructure, whether it's bulk infrastructure, reticulation, municipal bulk, there's going to be a question of reliability of that infrastructure to deliver water and sanitation. In fact, you will see it in the next presentation where we talk about wastewater treatment plants and water treatment plants, that the key issue is about reliability. Once the infrastructure is there, it has to be maintained. And if it's not maintained, then the reliability of the service is not going to be realized. Because if the infrastructure is not maintained, then water services is also not going to be realized. There's going to be disruptions. This issue was also discussed, I think, from last week by the premiers and the presidents. I think at some point as a country, we will have to shift from access infrastructure to maintaining the existing infrastructure. Because once you invest in maintaining the existing infrastructure, you prolong the lifespan of that particular infrastructure. You would have noticed that through State SA, in terms of access to services, the country is already sitting at 90%, 90+. In other words, which means most households do have access to water. It may be at an RTP level, which is a communal standby, 25 liters per day. But then the challenge is, how do you maintain that infrastructure? I always make an example about a standpipe in my mother's village in Eastern Cape. That standpipe, sometimes water doesn't come out of the tap, and sometimes water does come out of the tap. And that talks to issues of infrastructure. The last part, Chair, as I've already covered it, is about aligning both the municipal park and our park. Remember, municipalities are expected to deliver bulk infrastructure using municipal infrastructure grant and maintaining it using the equitable share. We need to align the two, and again, I'm hopeful that the district development model will assist us to do this. I think we have to accept, number one, that the country is struggling to retain experienced engineers. The majority of experienced engineers are aging. We've looked at the figures. The majority of them, they are aging. And the conveyor belt that is supposed to assist us to get new engineers up and running is not moving as fast as we want it to be. If you look at all the municipalities where we distribute our regional park infrastructure grants, even the MIG, you would agree with me, Chair, that most of those municipalities don't have professional engineers. In some cases, they rely on service providers for the bulk of engineering work. And that is a risk, because you have to manage in-house the service providers who are providing this kind of work. And I'm hopeful that the district development model will solve that problem for us, because I don't think it's wise to continue to disperse to municipalities that don't have professional engineers. Because if you disperse to municipalities that don't have professional engineers. In fact, it was brought to my attention last week that even OR Tambo, which is getting a significant amount of need in Eastern Cape, does not have in-house professional engineering. And that is a risk that we need to deal with. COGCHA, my colleagues at COGCHA, at MISA, they're working with us together with DBSA to address that problem. In fact, we had a workshop last week on Thursday with DBSA, MISA, and COGCHA to see how best we can manage this particular company. Because we can't continue to blame municipalities for not having the capacity to implement some of the challenges of the project. The question is, what are we doing, the National Department, and what are provinces doing to support those municipalities? I think that's where we are right now. We will pause here, Chair, when we'll be guided by yourselves, whether you want to engage with this presentation before we move to the next one. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Honourable Member. Do we want to engage with this one first before we go to another one? Or can we get all of them? Honourable Bantan and Seki. Honourable Bantan.
The Chairperson, would you ask questions on this one? Is it fine?
I'm asking whether we take this one or we
I think we should deal with this and finalise it.
Okay. Do you agree, Honourable Seki? We take questions for this one. Finish it. Oh, okay. And then I've noted Honorable Ken. Can I move with the hands? Honorable Basson, Honorable Wade, Honorable Sean, Honorable Zeke, Honorable Zeki, Honorable Vana, Honorable White. Yes.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, yes, I know the department sits with a dilemma on financing of projects. Now, if I want to buy a car and it costs 500,000 rand, if I've got to collect that money or save that money at the time that I want to buy this car, when I've got this 500,000, the car's price will be 900,000. So you borrow the money. So I think the minister also said in a previous speech that the private sector needs to get on board on this. And if I say get on board on this, it's by financing. So if you want 400 million, you want to collect 400 million to build a pipeline, it's going to be better for you borrowing that 400 million paid over 10 years because you can budget for that over 10 years. And if whether you get the money, collect money or not, if you're going to put in the infrastructure over a period of 3 years, I guarantee you that pipeline will nearly double in cost. So at the end of the day, it's better borrowing the money and budget for the payments, paying back that money over a period. So I suggest that we really look at those projects, because at the end of the day, we must supply people with water. It does help us having water there. We don't have the funding, we can't do it. Something that we can internally also with a construction unit can develop those pipelines. The second thing, and unfortunately you sit in a very bad space where municipalities are in charge of infrastructure but they can't maintain it, and everybody looks at the Department of Water and Sanitation how to deal with it. And it is true, and the system is bad for municipalities, the smaller municipalities. They cannot pay engineers what they get in the bigger municipalities. So you will get a guy that comes to your municipality, they will work there for 1 year, and then at a lower level at a metro or a bigger municipality, they'll get double the salary they get at the municipality. So that's all over the country, that is a problem. So I like the idea of the Western Cape government. So what they did was, they've got a pool of 40 to 50 engineers that's been approved the provincial government approves them, they meet once a month, they meet. And then if a municipality needs a specific engineer, he pulls that out of the pool and they pay the amount that has been agreed upon. So he doesn't need an engineer full time. He needs this guy for a week to come and sort out his problems. That person goes in, he gets the money for that week, and at the end of the story, the problem is solved. So I really think that either department or the province needs to look at that idea. It's unacceptable that our infrastructure is in the state that it is in. But it's also because municipalities don't have personnel to deal with it. And for that reason, a pool like this could work all over the country. And I think the department should lead in this, even COCTA should lead in this. I think it's their responsibility to make sure that there is pools of people, whether they, it doesn't matter where they stay, if they're on the list, they pool, they're approved, the tariff's been approved. The municipality does not need to negotiate with that person. They don't need to go out on tender on that. They just withdraw a person from the pool, sort out their problem. If he's there for a month or 3 weeks, pay for that period, and the problem is resolved. And I think that is a model that needs to be looked at.
Thank you very much, Honourable Chair. On page 11, on the next slide, which talks about Nandone Tumfani, where it is indicated that the project there is still under construction, I would like to get clarity on what is under construction. Is it the reticulation part or it is the bulk part of it? Because I know the responsibilities are different. I'm asking this because the presenter actually said that in most of the area here, the problem is also with reticulation. And reticulation is municipalities that are dealing with that. And I know that we deal with the bulk part of it. And I don't know, Honorable Chair, you see, when the presentation is made that that pipe is going to that area and is going to benefit how many villages, I think it should go beyond that, because our concern is not that villages do not have water or infrastructure. Our concern is that people do not have water. Individual households, individuals do not have water. People are complaining, not villages that are complaining. It's people living there complaining to government that we don't get service. So I would be glad that maybe in the future when you deal with this kind, you tell us, okay, this pipe is going to benefit how many people residing there, or rather households in that area, because that is going to give us a picture of whether are we dealing with the backlog, or we are trying to go towards that direction, or we are not. Because what is more important to me is people living in that area other than villages. I know that infrastructure cannot fly, but you know what will interest me more is to know how many people are going to benefit out of this, or how many households are going to benefit out of this infrastructure that we are putting there. And Chair, you see, I think technocrats must help us. I don't think, Honorable Chair, it will be fine that even in the years to come, we will sit and listen to problems that, you know, we've dealt with bulk and the problem is with the reticulation. Because reticulation is not within the scope of this department. Now, it is in the scope of COCTA. And I think we must arrive at a point where everybody is here or is in one room, both water and sanitation and COCTA, to actually address this thing, because some of the problems that we encounter are not because of our own making. Let me make an example, for example. In Mkhanyakude, the Department of Water and Sanitation, the Human Department of Water and Sanitation, has just completed the bath system in the Jozini Dam. But how legislation is moving at a very slow pace, very slow pace. You can see that it will take us 4 years to come to actually complete because of other, you know, factors within the municipality itself. So I just wanted to put that, if it's a policy matter, because I think that maybe in areas where there is a challenge with the municipality, why can't we put law or anything, a policy that then the department must take over? Because we can't continue to be prevented by another department, which is actually a relative to this one, when in fact we see what is the problem. I wanted to make that contribution. Thank you.
Thank you, Chair. Chair, I also want to touch on the regulation issue. And I'd like to ask the department what conversation and what plans are in place so that this doesn't happen anymore. I know it's before your time. I've seen the dates 2014, 2015. It's perhaps way before your time. Reticulation we've seen in the Giani area, where one of the towns or settlements, they get 7 days of water, and the half of the other half of the town gets 7 days the next week. When there's a shortage of water, it comes to this ministry, it comes to this department. They don't care about which municipality, and money has not been set for reticulation. So that to me is a concern. Water and sanitation has done their job, they've provided the bulk services, but the end result is not there, where water comes out of the tap. We've seen it on our site visit, where Granny was sitting in a house, there was no water in the tap, but yet she's got a tap or standpipe within her yard. So that takes me to the next question is, what I also would like to know is your project management skills and project readiness. We cannot have 2015, and we still today in 2020 still having to negotiate with traditional leaders and everybody else on where to lay the pipeline and can we lay the pipeline and we've got community issues, etc. Have we not dealt with this with the project readiness? Moving forward, I would like to hear from you that the project starting in this year, next year, and the years coming, is that project ready to be implemented? Because it takes 7-8 years, we are still delayed with projects. And I'm not going to drill down into the specific pages, I'm sure you know what I'm referring to, where projects are being delayed by a year or 2 years, and that is my concern. And then lastly, Chairperson, I also want to ask this. When contractors default, what is the department doing with regards to that contractors? Are they blacklisted with the government? Because it's not the first time that we have heard of contractors, especially the Guyana that just walked away, contractors that have defaulted. What happens to those contractors? Are they blacklisted? What measures are put in place to ensure that they don't get contracts in other areas, because if they do it once, they've done it twice, they've done it thrice. So what is the department doing where that's concerned? Thank you. And lastly, Chairperson, the district development model perhaps speaks to a few of these questions that I've raised now. I would like to perhaps, Chairperson, just have some understanding if there is in future some presentation on what the district development module is, for us also to understand what the conversation is on the table. We've heard it now that there is a module, but we don't understand what the conversation and the content of that is. Maybe we will understand the layout and projects and the articulation issues much better if we do see a presentation on what the agreement is. Thanks.
Thank you. Thank you, Chair, and let me thank the department for the presentation. Chair, my question one is in slide 23. The presentation or the slide states that the to complete project 2E and 2F, I think it's the Olifant River Water Resources, you require the off-budget funding option for the project. And I'm not quite sure, is it not, my question is that is it not, this not falls within the mandate of TCTA? Are we not compromising that mandate of the TCTA? And then what are the implications thereof? And secondly, your project 2D, I think is the same, Olifant's River Water Resources. Is the other project, Kamatipa Pump Station. The project has started in March 2015, but still in 2020, 5 years later, the project is still in a design stage. The money spent is huge, and the slide further indicates that there are delays in the acquisition of the land, but it does not give us information on how are you resolving that met, if you already met the relevant department to deal with the land dispute. And then my last question, Chen, is on the, in all the projects identified here, I think it is important that we get the breakdown of how many jobs have been created or are going to be created, so that we can be able to see how the department is dealing with the high unemployment rate in our country. Thank you very much.
Disadvantaged by the presentation. The presentation is so nice that you might as well think that all is well. Whilst we were in report, we were so disappointed. And it's just that I can't remember the place that we visited. Those places, the name. But I'm asking myself, if we visit for the next time, what's going to happen to those people that were lamenting and commenting to us that there is no water? And in the understanding of the presentation, it is said that the claim is full. I'm also concerned, Chairperson, about the time they are taking when they are doing the project. I just want to know, is it the lack of management? What is it exactly? Because we move around, go from point A to point B, from point B to point C, and we're told that there's no one. It's worse with those ones when we were passing by, we saw the scoop or the drum. And there was one boy who was selling water. I don't know whether it was 10 rand, but we asked him, what was the drum, how much is it? Now, this fancy nice presentation, really we appreciate it. But what we need to be told is that when will the water get out of the earth? Okanye, when will communities of the area that we visited will get water? It is worse when we plan. I'm not expecting, but I know I'm a layman in terms of planning. But I'm asking myself, why didn't we think that the people that we pass by and they don't get water, what they toy. Because people were saying, In fact, the councillor herself was claiming that the pipe passed by one of other villages and they couldn't get water. So those people were toying about that. So I just want to, it's not questions per se, but it's some of comments and also concerns, which is how long will we have this trouble or problem or challenges that we are facing as the respective communities. And you could see that the department was not hands-on in terms of communicating with the stakeholders there. Because what we expected is the councillor herself to tell us what is it exactly that is happening in the area. But the councillor was just on the other side and the department was on the other side, which devastated us and we were really frustrated about that. It doesn't even make us in terms of the politicians to be direct, but it also just needs in understanding to one another. So now I don't have instantly, but maybe you will be able to summarize. I can see it's too nice and you can see it's well prepared, which you have to say. That is tell us when the water is going to reach among these areas village that we visited. Thank you.
अगले वो चेक कर दी चे मे बी वी नीड टू आस्क समथिंग है एंड आई थिंक आवर टीम नीड टू नोट दिस चे विथ योर परमिशन वी नीड टू गेट ए टोटल प्रोजेक्ट प्लान लेआउट एज ए प्रिंसिपल सो व्हेन अ प्रोजेक्ट and aimed to finish it. What do you do? Link the project plan with the intergovernmental relations. If you look at the challenges, and I like my sister called them strategic challenges. Strategic tends to be very big. The big one is the philosophy of what you want to achieve. Now, tribal authority, we live with them every day. And there can be a problem if our project plan included them. Private sector. There's a statement here saying on page 26, RDP 2B delayed due to protracted negotiations regarding co-funding from the private sector. So you don't go to a project without having completed that. When you go to a project, if you wanted to bring a private sector, you do that before the project initiated. So we are planning to do this, and therefore, when you implement a project, all those stakeholders should have been included. That's why the next also say misalignment relating to implementation of our. Since 1994, police. There's been an issue of saying our government works in silos. Misalignment means exactly that you have not yet come to a point whereby when a project is being at an embryonic stage, you know exactly who to get involved, who's where, which land. How do we get municipality? Do they have a budget? And all that. Now, if municipality allows you to continue with the project while they know that they won't have a depletion, that means that project is not complete. It's not a project, because you know that you are going to eat a snack. But if municipality say, go ahead, you think we'll have a project that time, then your reason will not be miscellaneous. Your reason will be, as much as in the planning stage municipality was involved and promised to have funding, now they don't have funds. They are claiming to us they don't have funds. Not misalignment. Misalignment means that you fail to plan. That's what it means. My little English says. And there's a slide, okay, before I go to that slide, if you go to 26, 27, okay, the same thing that you are considering. Alignment of planning and implementation of bulk and regulation. This is 2020. This department, or the work of this department, was there in 1994. This is 2020, colleagues. Chair, this is 2020. And Mr. Basson about Western Cape idea, it's not a Western Cape idea. It's an idea that has been there for many years. The question is that whether you people have got interest to implement it, of having engineers on standard, what you call standard, that are able to rent them, the cost of that standby as well. Just a minor issue, Chair, but I think it's important in terms of the grammatic show on page L.A. Nandoni, the schematic presentation of Nandoni, where it supplies and all that. On page 10. If you look at the Majosi pipe and Vondo South, where are they linking? Are those two round things and the one like a question mark, are they linked? Because I see the pipe like it's moving along. The red one seems to be moving alone. Can you just explain, probably, I don't see a link there. Probably there is. Because I see Majosi jumps over the Vondo, or the Vondo. The Vondo side. Yeah. You can see the
The second issue, Chairperson, is that Limpopo is about 5.6 population. There's got about 5 district municipalities and 23 local municipalities. Perhaps the presenter maybe assume that we know, we understand. I'm using your previous presentation that you gave to us in the visit. Tell us, is, are these different municipalities involved in this whole issue? Are they all? I see three when you were presenting, and they are five. What about others? Are they ready? Do they have water? Are the people being provided with water? And then also there are municipalities, some are not presented. It's important that we get to know the geographic content of Limpopo in terms of water provision. We are given the clarity because there's a plan about Guyana that is presented here. Not sure which page is it, but I'll be able to say it. Is this plan about Guyana intervening in the old dysfunctionality that we saw? Is it a new area or new village? Not the ones that visited that do not have water. It's important that we get that because for us to go to an area which is so highly negated about service delivery and we're not getting that, are we rectifying that problem or these are new villages that are being raised here? I see that there are villages that are to get their pipes as presented that are going to some villages. Other villages, there is nothing. Is it because those ones have got water already? The pipes, they've managed to bring water to those villages. I think I've raised the issue about Guyana. Please, that Guyana has traumatized us. I don't think it's myself alone. It's important that this presentation must clarify. You see, the issue of six weeks getting water and another 6 weeks don't get water, it's a thing. Where do I get water in the other 6 months? It should not be normal. Really, it should not be normal because we said the water is health, right? Did you say so? It's life. So the other 6 months, those people do not have life. Page 18 says the storage of water in the, that's the dam. The storage of water in the dam commenced in September 2011. What was happening before was the water and where was it coming from? The storage of water in the dam commenced in September 2011, that's page 18. The dam supplies four water service authorities, Upolokwane, Nemukalakwena, the Kukune, and Capricorn, same page. What we are not getting is that bulk is being done, constructed, reticulation. We are interested in people getting water. You can put a bulk, but tell us the end result as people getting water. Is there reticulation? Remember in some of the discussions that we had previously, that municipalities were not taking the water in terms of their pipes to the people. So we may be excited about the whole presentation, but are the people getting water? Economy reticulation aimed by the municipalities as their responsibility. Coming to the issue of conflict, You see, when we were at Limpopo, in China, there was a very, very visible disagreement with councillors. Very, very visible disagreement, and it even started to emerge in the meeting. Traditional authorities have got also a problem about the development. Business people themselves have managed to take the water to their home without the municipality's permission. But all what this says, who wanted this water, was if people were involved in the early stage, in the planning, having a social contract with the department, with the municipalities, this should not happen in the team. I hear the request from the DG to say, is it us who must engage? Both the department must engage those people. Department must engage those people and us at the political level. But the issue, there should be clear content. Clear content. Where is the area of disagreement? And what happened when the project started? In Ngozi, did they know about this project? Did they agree that this is the piece of land that you need to utilize for this? Because the program, Lendity, a developmental stage, Iteta Mendoba, please teach even people, capacitate people how development works. So now, in the conflict that you are getting about individuals here, in Ngozi, in Abandu, and in the business, it has to do with something did not happen well. I think the issue raised by Honorable Singh is important. You see, a project that started in 2011, project that started in 2014, 2019, 2020, where do we intervene in that project? Where were problems? Where do we intervene if you are not getting a very clear logic of the project, a project plan, the implementation plan, so that we know what was the agreement of the close out of the project? Where did you agree to finish up the project? And what were the problems? Because as it is now, the umbrella flow, we want to be at work to assist the department in intervention. But as it is, there are things that are not clear to us where were problems. Because obviously, a project that should have started in 2011 until 2020, surely there will be funds that will be needed in the process, because project is problematic by its nature. So if you are with the project on the basis of the timeline, your budget plan that you had will not be the same in 2020. It's important that in Sydney, when they tell and they just say, you are aware, Chairperson, that one of the issues last year when we came about the budget of the department is water. Kiyane was a contentious issue, but the department gave us a hope that all these issues were rectified, and then you said, let's proceed with the program of the department. But we can't just leave it when it's not clear to us. Where are we? How are we doing a recovery plan on that area? The 6 weeks of not having water, I don't agree with that. It should not be our plan. We must not understand that thing. We must not understand water is life. Everything. Not you own people, you need to charge.
Thank you very much, Chairperson. A lot has
been covered by honorable members who have spoken before me. But I just also want to echo the same sentiments as honorable Van, to say after we went to Guyana and see for ourselves what is happening there, it becomes very difficult to believe everything we read from this presentation. Because even before we went there, even when we were there, we received good presentations like this. Where today there is no municipality to dispute some of the things that are written here. You will remember, Chair, that there was an argument when the presentation was made that the municipality was not happy with some of the things that were reported. But be that as it may, Chair, I just want to check on page 15. It speaks of the increased water security to 55 villages in Guyana and 7 villages in Malamulele. Then we went to Guyana, and the fact is there is nothing there, and there is no hope that there will soon be something. Well, we did not go to Malamulele, but if we went to Guyana and did not get what was said to be there, it tells the same story with Malamulele if we can go there. Question is, what is the estimated time frame to attain that increased security that you want to increase to 55 villages? What is the estimated time frame? Because if you look at the budget allocation, you can see that about 60% has already been spent, which tells that the project it's towards its completion. But you go there, you find a different story. And Chair, I think we need to get an update about the 60 million infrastructure that we went to see, that was completed, but is not in use. When you ask, they will tell you that there is an engineering issue. Then that explanation is not an explanation enough to just live with it. We need to know what steps are going to be taken or are being taken. Because when we asked, we were told it requires or it still needs 35 million more for it to start operating. Because we can talk about laying the pipes, providing bulk water, but if we are going to have treatment plants that are not going to be taken good care of, then we are far from solving the problem that we are currently having. Thank you, Chairperson.
Thank you. I missed one important question. Linking with that project layout, every resident here, there's a revisal of project completion date. I think, Chair, if we could sample, maybe only on these two, to say, as you say, the completion date was this, it's now revised. What are the reasons for revision? You may not answer today. A clear explanation of the reason for revision And the cost implication of that revision, Chair, that the project was aimed to finish at 2 billion, because of the revision is now going to be finished at this particular cost. If that layout versus the project plan can be given to us, Chair, it could be a sample that would be a sample for the whole country. This plan that if the department could respond to us, we'll be able to use that in different projects across the country. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you, Honourable Zeki. I'm going to allow the department to answer the specific questions that have been asked. But just to indicate that we expected the municipality to be here. And unfortunately, I don't know how the communication went, because we knew that the department has provided the bulk supply, which Nandoni, Siwo, and Flagushiri, they are there in Limpopo. But what we needed to understand is why people are not getting water. And municipality was supposed to be here to answer that question. But unfortunately, the communication from the committee was not clear enough, DG. And we know that there is bulk supply in the form. Why people are not receiving water? So I think it's something that we would want to work on and give us more details in terms of where the scheme by scheme, where is the problem, how we intend to unlock them, and which municipalities are responsible, how to work with them. Because as we welcome the model, district model, you expect now that all this planning and resources will be bring together your MIG and your grant will be collaborated. There will be a collaboration to use those resources together to fast track provision of water in Limpopo. Because you know what worries most is the outcome of the statistic, the community survey that was just produced by SA on the provision of access to water, and it's like that we around either the issue of population increment, the issue of infrastructure, dilapidation of infrastructure or what, which the committee needs to be updated or be informed about those issues. Why water is not reaching people? You are now reaching 19 million. Others say there are strange people today. And there is even where water is available, it's not on daily basis. Which is a problem that we must have a plan to resolve in our term of office. To say, as we go into the new year, we have these four dams in Limpopo, and these were the challenges. We're working with this municipality. There is me, there is our grants that are being consolidated towards the making sure that the real accessibility is being achieved in the public. So to achieve a dam when water does not reach the people doesn't say much. It's a deliverance of service, because in terms of your constitutional mandate, you have provided that. But because water is the right, and the custodianship of the constitution still rely on national. You are the, even if provinces and local municipalities are they are too the custodian of our constitution, but we expect national government to lead. So I think that was the intention of the meeting, and I can realize that the short of municipalities is still going to leave us without more answers. And we'd have to look at in the planning the next term where we'll get all the municipalities to come in and we need to have a project that has fixed a date, have a starting date and ending date. That is the only way that we'll progress. DG and your team.
Thank you, Chair. Let me start with the district development model. I think it's only proper that Kokta Maskani present to you. They are the drivers of that model. I have sat in all the interministerial committee meetings where the district development model has been presented. Very clear what it's all about. In fact, I spend more time with my colleagues at COPTA than any other department because they assist us as we deal with some of the challenges around regulation. Chair,
regulation. It's
not so much the water resources side, because we keep saying we have all these dams, we have all these bulk pipelines passing villages, but people don't have water. That's a regulation. So for us to be able to tackle that issue, and we have accepted that challenge, Chair, that it's not going to help us to keep saying regulation is a municipal function. Yes, it is, constitutionally speaking, because it's in the constitution and it's a shared in the constitution. But the reality is that municipalities, who are water services authorities, are grappling with regulation. Do we fold our arms? No. Can we come in and assist them? The answer is yes. Which brings me to the question about the drawdown that Honorable Basson has talked about, using a pool of engineers. You recall that this approach was introduced in 2004 by DBSE. When we introduced a program called Sianza Manji, the intention was to have a pipeline, a pool of engineers. In fact, what I did in 2004, when I left DBSE, I left with some of the engineers who were in the pool that were using to support the municipality. We had six engineers which were supporting our Eastern Cape, and they were coming from that pool of Sianza Manji. But unfortunately, we didn't sustain it, and the program was not institutionalized. I think what we're talking about now, in terms of the district development model, is to institutionalize the approach of coming up with a one plan in a district, so that we are all clear about what needs to be done in that district. Instead of blaming municipalities, we pull all the resources together to tackle the problem at the district level. We also talked about what was called the district sharing, what was it called? It was called the cost sharing arrangement. At the district level, if you have five local municipalities, all the five local municipalities can share their resources. If there's one engineer in that district responsible for one local municipality, that engineer can assist other municipalities as well to deal with the challenges that they are faced with. So the plan is there. I think all what we have to do is to ask COPCA to come and present that plan. There is an interministerial committee that oversees the district development model. There is a technical IMC, which is chaired by the DG of COPCA, and all other DGs sit in that technical IMC. We've already launched the district development model in three areas, which is Oortambo, Etiquin, and Waterbeck District. And they can come and present it to you what was launched in those three districts, Oortambo, Etiquin, and Waterbeck. And I'm told that they are now moving to Ekurhuleni. The intention is to mainstream the district development model. The intention is not to launch it in all the districts, but to mainstream the approach. I'm sure the Minister of COPCA will be able to present to you the institutionalization of the district development model. It brings me to the question about the leveraging. I'll leave the specific questions about Nandoni, 2E, 2B, all the specific questions that were raised to my colleagues. They are better placed, the CEO, the DDG, acting DDG infrastructure, and the head of our region in Limpopo. They will deal with the specific questions. But the question about leveraging funding, that's exactly what we discussed last week with DBSA, that we realized that the fiscal is under pressure. That's number one. We are not going to be able to solve all the problems in Limpopo using the fiscal. And the question is, what is it that we can do to leverage funding from the private sector? That model was presented to us. It's a model that was designed by DBSA, DWS, our department. In fact, Trevor Balza, who retired late last year, was representing us in that in the development of the model. The model is currently being packaged by DBSA. And what they are proposing, I don't want to talk about something that still has to be presented to cabinet, but in a nutshell, what it's trying to do is to use a portion of the grant, top slice, a portion of our grant, whether it's MEEC, whether it's RBIC, whether it's we see you top slice a certain portion of it, it could be 20% or 80%, and then use that top sliced amount to leverage more funding from the private sector. Talk to the funders, your BRICS Bank, your DBSA, all the other funders, that infrastructure funders that we have in the country, because it became very clear that the bigger challenge that we have in the country is not so much lack of funding. It is lack of project preparation, lack of project financing arrangement. How do you make sure that most of these projects are bankable? Because the private sector is not going to fund anything unless it's bankable, because they want to be assured that there will be a return on investment. So that model was presented, all the officials were here, they were in that meeting, we all supported it, and we asked them to go ahead and present it to the PCC and present it to cabinet. My gut feeling tells me that it will be approved because it's a leverage mechanism. There were other instruments that were used in the past by DBSA. One of them is what is called the front loading mechanism. But the front loading has its own limitation. It can only be done within 3 years. So it has always been treated as a short-term loan. But this one is a proper financing vehicle, which I've seen it in other countries like Brazil. I've seen it in Singapore. I think they're using the same model in Singapore. But DBSA has been given an opportunity to perfect it. I want to clarify two things before I hand over to my colleagues to deal with specific questions. That when we talk about Diani, there are two Diani, if I put it that way. There is the Nandoni Nsami Diani, which is a pipeline. And then there is the Mopani Diani pipeline. And both of them are intended to solve the same problem, which is both bulk distribution and reticulation. And again, Chair, I want to accept that the provision of the bulk pipeline is an end to a mean, is a mean to an end. It is not an end to itself. You provide the bulk pipeline with the intention to make sure that there is reticulation at the end of the day. Without the bulk pipeline, there will be no reticulation. Without the dam, there will be no reticulation. I think let's be clear about that part. That you have to deliver the source, deliver the bulk pipeline, and then reticulate to communities. That's how it works. So we want to take that challenge. And again, I'm saying we take the challenge of reticulation, even though it's not our primary money, it's our secondary money. We take that challenge, and we will deliver on it together with COPRA. I think all the other spheres of government will participate. And that's why I'm saying the best place to deal with all these reticulation issues is in the district development model. Why? Because all the spheres of government will be there to contrast with each other to deliver on some of the challenges that we're faced with. What has been lacking over the years is the contractual arrangement between spheres, between departments, to be able to achieve what they want to achieve. We can now hold COPTA accountable on what they are supposed to do by contracting with them in the district development model. But here then, they will present it themselves, and I think you can ask the question. So I've clarified the point about Nandoni. The Nandoni farm affects Giani. The Giani Mopani affects Giani as well. So there are two parts. What you visited was the Mopani part, where the tanks were not coming out. Sorry, water was not coming out of the tank. Here is the most important thing about water coming out of the tank. And this is my partnership. Can we do this? The point about water coming out of the tap means one thing, and I want to stress a little to my partnership. When water is not coming out of the tap, talks to the reliability of the infrastructure. It talks to the maintenance of the infrastructure. It talks to taking care of that infrastructure. If there's one thing that we have not done very well as a country, including, by the way, the municipalities, the metropolitan municipalities, is maintenance of infrastructure. If you don't maintain, water is not going to come out of the tank. And remember, and again, it should not come across as a reimpropriation exercise, because the budget to maintain the infrastructure goes directly to municipalities, for municipalities to maintain that budget, that infrastructure. And we've seen it. It doesn't matter where you go. You can visit every area in the country. You'll see it in the next presentation, because it does talk about municipal infrastructure. We have to take a decision as a country as to whether we should not create an arrangement like they do in other countries like Italy, where we find a better institutional mechanism to manage this infrastructure, because it's a socio-economic infrastructure. If it's not working, it's not reliable, then business is going to leave that locality. It's simple as that. If someone wants to invest, like you have seen it in Standard, and the municipality is not guaranteeing that particular company, this is a practical example, by the way, it's not a fictitious example. There's a company in Standard that has threatened to pull out because the municipality, the liquid municipality, was not in a position to provide reliable water supply. So we have to make a country decision about what would be the best arrangement to manage this infrastructure. That would mean at some point that we reverse the decisions that we have taken before of giving this, some of the municipalities powers to become water service authorities. If we are convinced that some municipalities are not in a better place to reverse, sorry, to provide the service, then let's make a call and then say as a country. And that can be made even through the district development model. To say, it's a board, I'm just using them as an example, because they have been under section 139 for a very long time. Mfuleni is also a water services authority. Should Mfuleni continue as a water services authority, given the challenges that are facing there? And those are the decisions that we have to make. I think we have the information to make those decisions. If we make a call that Mfuleni should not continue to be a water services authority, let's make that call, and we can make the call. Chair, without taking much of your time, I'm now going to ask Lucy to start, and Lucy can talk to specific questions that were raised. I think there were quite a number of questions that were raised about 2E, 2F, 2D, and how many jobs that were created in the project. If we are not in a position to answer specifically now, I'm sure we can respond to some of the questions in writing. Still before the end of this week. I'll ask Lucy to start, and then I will ask Tiki to add. You have a question to add as well, Lucy.
Thank you, Tiki. Let me start with the number of jobs created per project. We were advised that we should just maybe in future provide the number of jobs each and every project that we are implementing has created. That can be provided at a later stage, because we mentioned for some, we didn't mention for others. And then let me talk to the 2B. The question was on... private sector not coming on board, and the question was that why are we not completing the process? The 2B, Chairperson, you will recall, is the pipeline from Flexishielo to Mohalabe. And the private sector in this regard is the mining hub. And the 70 to 50 megaliters that we require to provide Mohalabe is for both economic and social. And we have been struggling with the off-take agreement from the private sector to support this initiative. They found our proposal for funding model to be exorbitant. You will recall we are estimating through our TCTA to the 6.7 billion, and the private sector say they can do it at 3.7. But then that's where the presentation says maybe we should explore further to go off budget as our fiscal is constrained. On the issue of district, mentioning the district municipalities that are involved, I think at the beginning of my presentation regarding the two main dams, not across the province, because we've got other water services authorities in the province, Chairperson, you will recall that all local municipalities in Waterberg are water service authorities. But here we were specific to Nandoni and Dewo. And the water services authority for Nandoni is Vembe District, Mubani, and Capricorn. Because at the end, after Kotama Sintumule project, the other in the pipeline to plan is to take water through the same pipeline up to Mutokwa after the toll gate, which is in Capricorn. And in the Dewo, we've got Ulugwani, which is the big city, which is supposed to get the main bulk of the water from the expanded treatment work to 120 megaliters per day. And we've got Mhalakwena through to B that we have just alluded to. And then Capricorn is the Lebakomo and adjacent to the Tiela villages. I think most of the questions revolve around why not articulated, and the DG has answered the question through the problem statement on the articulation. And I will ask Dr. Mama to help me on 2D, 2E and F, because they are being asked nationally, and the, why are we not finalizing memorandum of understanding with those tribal authorities. Thank you, DG.
Can you also take the question on the project layout and the project plan and the cost associated with the revision of the project? Thanks.
Thank you, Honorable Chair and Honorable Members. I was just going to the part of the remainder of the Olifant. Okay. I will just go into the remainder of the Olifant River development scheme. As you have it on the screen as well, and as it was explained by the presenter with regards to 2C that's already completed, 2D as it is there. Now 2E and F, those are the two remainder phases that is still in planning phase. And obviously the need for those two phases would be to actually to connect the work completely with a Polokwane scheme. The 2B that the presenter also spoke about, Lucy spoke about, is then offset, because you will take a lot of water up with 2B to Mokulakwena side. And hence the reason to complete this old phase 2D to F to actually take the waters through the Olifant's port. So that is in planning phase to allow the project to move in theory as it has been designed for. However, as we stand, what we have on the fiscus, because what we get from the fiscus through the augmentation has been reducing constantly year on year due to the constraints that's on the fiscus. So previously the department decided to withdraw the directive to DCTA to do the complete bulk infrastructure from the work to Olifant Spoor for the mere reason that should we have followed that route to actually do this completely off budget and through the loans that we will then obtain from DCTA would have been that the cost of water as it would have reached Polokwane might have been too expensive for the local residents to afford. Hence it was decided that let us do it through augmentation. The situation changed significantly on the fiscus since that decision was taken. Hence the departments at this point in time exploring different means to actually look, together with National Treasury of course, to look at how we can obtain the funds as to complete the work. If I may go into the question that was asked by Honorable August as well as Honorable Ncheki with regards to the issue of the travel authorities and project readiness. Yes, it is true that it cannot be that the whole project should be actually stopped due to the travel authority raising their concerns. However, as you understand also, that the project cycle starts at the planning part and the implementation follows that. So this whole process in terms of the conversation to have with relevant authorities is part of the project planning phase. So once you have the design completed, you know the direction where the pipe actually should go, and then you'll have the conversation. But there's a project expectation or project schedule to actually that you want to follow. But if the conversation takes longer than expected, it means there's now a delay. And we're in that process in terms of that delay, as it happened. But as you have it also, honorable member, you will understand that the social dynamics around projects is also very fluid, and also there's not a complete science to it. As we will also find a situation where in certain areas we have not bargained, luckily not in this situation now, but we have not bargained even for the business forums to actually come to party, and we have to talk to them as well. So that is a space that we are moving into that is also very new to the department, but we are skilling ourselves in our IGR components to actually be more prepared for that situation. In terms of the project readiness that we have to go into, yes, for all our bulk projects, we need the IRS, which is the implementation readiness study, before funds are available for projects. And that helps us to have a situation where we don't have projects on budget for implementation and then installed for extended periods in time. It has helped us. But obviously, as I have mentioned before, that there are instances where the social part come to the party that has not been completely taken into account during the planning process, and that is actually exacerbating some of the delays that we are also facing. Chair, for now, I think that I have covered some of it, but if the PK is coming, CE is coming in and there is more to cover, then I will come back if necessary.
PK is going to take quite a number of those projects, and Gyan is one of them. He wants to come back on Gyan because he's an implementing agent there. PK, over to you.
Well, Chair and the Leadership Collective, I will start with the question on Andoni Nsani pipeline. The progress there, Chair, is at 56%. And the reasons why Nandoni Nsani pipeline is work going on in Ndiani. In Ndiani, there are two schemes, Middle Etape and Nsani, and both of them have made determinations that they are prone to drought during winter period. So that's why there was a need then determined to say the community of Ndiani, if we are to make sure that there is a water security, have to be fed by the source, which is Nandoni Nsani. The pipeline is not less than 50 kilometer distance, serving seven villages around Malamulem, and then it extends to we know the concern raised by the honorable member that we need to give detailed information in relation to individual households, and we commit that this will be part of the information that we present when we present the schematic layout of each of the projects. Over and above that, we'll add how many jobs were created and the impact in terms of LED, local economic development, impact of each of the projects that we are carrying out. Both Gyan projects and Nandoni Nsani pipeline, the plan is to complete them by September 2020. And the schematic layout that we are required to present will indicate all those outstanding milestones and who then has to do what as we are running towards the completion of the project. There was also a question raised on the additional 6 megaliter water treatment works, which members found on site to be dysfunctional. Chair, this is portion of the work that the municipality of Mbani is taking. It was not implemented by neither the department nor the Bele, and I think it talks to the limitation that we spoke about in your opening remarks, that in the absence of the municipality, there may be some questions that we are not able to answer sufficiently. But I know very well that they indicated that their hands are on the deck in terms of making sure that this project is back to functionality. Yeah, I think these are the two questions I wanted to address. Thank you.
Chair, I guess at the end of the day, we, as a department, we are expected to provide leadership to sort out some of the IGR challenges. I'm sure you picked it up in your visit that there are tensions, especially in areas where the implementing agent, the Department of Water, is an implementing agent. And this is not only a challenge in Limpopo, it's a challenge all around. Earlier, we talked about Jozini. There was a comment about Jozini. In Jozini, we were working with Mkanyagudi to deal with some of the reticulation issues. We're using the Umhlatuze water there to work with Mkanyagudi. There are challenges. Some of the municipalities are not comfortable with us utilizing the implementing agencies in their space, especially where they are water service authorities. But the only way for us to supplement the capacity of that particular municipality is to bring our implementing agencies. It's not a hostile takeover. We're not taking over the function, but we're simply supplementing what is there because we don't implement all the projects. You would have noticed in Mkanyagudi that you do have quite a number of initiatives where we're funding bulk pipeline to a number of districts. In fact, there was a complaint that we are prioritizing Zululand. Water is moving from Jozini Dam to Zululand. There is that pipeline, and it passes villages. The bulk pipeline that is passing villages, it is an issue because communities are going to Toitu. I think there was a specific question that was raised. Do you expect communities not to Toitu when the bulk pipeline is passing through the villages? They will Toitu, and they are justified to do so. There's no question about it. Communities will protest, and it's their right to protest. But then the question is, what is it that the three spheres of government can do? I don't think it's in the hands of municipalities alone. I think they are overwhelmed as well. I don't think they will be in a position to deal with all of these challenges. The question is, what is it that the three spheres of government can do together to expedite the question of reticulation? And that's why we're stating it as a problem statement. The real problem statement is how to reticulate to households, and not to villages, to households, to go to families. And that's what we are grappling with as a country, not just municipalities, and not just as a department, especially in your predominantly rural municipalities. Even in areas where we have done a lot of reticulation, some districts in Eastern Cape, we've done 90% of reticulation infrastructure. But again, once the infrastructure is there, the challenge is how to maintain it so that water can come out of the shaft. Is the reliability of that service once the infrastructure is in place. And that goes to maintenance. We will deal with these challenges in Limpopo and we'll be able to reticulate. But the problem is not going to end there. The problem is going to be how to maintain that infrastructure over time, because that's what we're grappling with now as a country. I don't know, Chair, if there were specific questions. I think we've answered there was a question about disagreements. So if municipalities were to be called to present their side of the story, they will be able to represent themselves. We don't want to get involved in blame promotion politics. They take a lot of energy from what is supposed to be done. What we want to do is to focus on the challenge. Dealing with the challenge. We've answered the question about the alignment of planning. Again, this is, you have a council. The council prioritized through IDP, we assist the municipality, through the water services sector development plans, and then there's prioritization based on the budget. What is going to be prioritized first? And again, that council's prerogative to decide what to prioritize, not the department's prerogative. So I think with the DDM model, the district development model, I think we will be in a better position to prioritize together. I think we'll be in a better position to budget together, because budgeting in a municipal level is different from budgeting in a provincial and a national level. So those are things that we're grappling with. We're not saying there are no challenges. Chair, you may be saying, you said earlier that what we are presenting and what is happening on the ground may not be the same. And we accept that, that things may not be exactly the same. You may go to communities and find that there's no water out of it there. But the infrastructure is there. And then you're dealing with another challenge, a secondary challenge, or a tertiary challenge of making sure that there's reliability of the service. I think the question about planning, you are spot on. In any project, in any built environment project, you have to prioritize what is called the project readiness metrics. I think in the department, in human settlements, they call it project readiness metrics. In this department, it's called the implementation readiness. So you do have that kind of an arrangement. But even if you have mitigated all your risk upfront, in any built environment project, there will always be emerging risks. There will always be challenges. You may agree with communities, you may agree with the municipalities upfront, then towards implementation, people can renege from some of the agreements. So it's in our nature, it's in our space that you have to deal with some of the challenges that we have. There is no project that can be 100% de-risked. All projects will always have an element of risk, but we can mitigate the risk as we implement. The part about the traditional leaders, I think we need to jack up our game there. I think we need to arrange a meeting. You know, this is one area that the Deputy Minister Mashoko is passionate about. I'm sure Minister may ask Deputy Minister Mashoko to intervene on her behalf to deal with some of the challenges that are faced with in those traditional authorities. And Chair, without wasting much of your time, if there's any question that was left out, we can deal with it after we have presented the second presentation. Thank you very much.
Thank you, DG and your team. I think we should agree that for the fact that we don't have the third fee of government, there is a gap that needed to be clarified, which should not be clarified. But because we are running a program, we might not have another time to in immediately to call those spheres of government. But we want to ask you, DG, to convene that forum of your technical teams and raise our concern as portfolio committee that we want to see collaboration of working of both departments, local government and province, planning together, which is the program of government, particularly to address the challenges that are there on articulation and make sure that we speed up the process of people accessing water. If you can have that forum at some point, we would call you, but it might not be immediate, particularly looking in Congo. But when we go to another province, we would want the answer that would have shown that you have done this part by engaging your municipalities and provinces on the planning, on the frustrating the implementation of projects. And we should have all the projects that we need to be submitted to us as we go into the planning for this term. We should have the plan that says this is the certain time, this is the expected time to end, and there is resources, there is no resources, so I'm using a mechanism that we're putting in place to get resources, so that it is clear. Because sometimes our meetings are not progressing because we ask the same question every day because the information does not come forth. But if the presentation, if there is a project plan, it shows the duration, the time frame, the budget, the scope of work, and it will be very helpful. Then we'll then close the part of the municipalities, but we'll get answers from our members as we go to another province. Because the same questions that you are asking in Polokwane and the Popo, we ask it in those provinces, and we expect a different approach, and we'll have time to call them again, those municipalities to come and give us responses. And it's a big fund. We want to welcome the initiative by the DPSA because it's going to help us. This pipe that the children know, no funding, no what. Tomorrow probably we'll get a very clear budget schedule. Say this one is funded, DPSA coming on board, this one is coming on board. And the means of repayment. And in the whole process, must never forget that the services that is provided, people must pay. Continue to encourage our people to pay water. But at some point, we have to come back to here and talk about the tariff system. whether are we doing justice to our communities terms of the tariffs. We'll come back to that the later stage so that as we go into the sixth parliament, we take all the things that require to for quality, access, and availability. Yeah, which is access of water into our community. It's very clear. Even if DG leave us tomorrow, so should then remain the plan that says the DG has told us that this is what is going to happen. Because when I was in Limpopo, the provincial chair of Limpopo, I told her that the flag was yellow type. The decision was taken in 2010. And it has not happened. So we are going to have all of a lot of them in the process go to another province. So there must be a way of dealing with issues. And thank you very much. Let's go into the second presentation, DG, and the presenter must talk to the presentation because we don't have enough much time.
Thank you, Chair. This one we'll try and keep it very short. And it's very straightforward. It's about the state of functionality of the water services in the Limpopo, looking specifically at the Water Services Authority. I'm going to ask the acting DDG Manas to lead us on this one. Leonardo.
Thank you, DG. Thank you, Honorable Chair. The second slide just speaks on the contents, which is also the following slide in terms of the next slide, the purpose, which will give you just an overview in terms of the municipal performance, in terms of the evaluation done from a regulatory perspective, and then also the status of the water services technical reports, and then the grant spending trends. That would be the three components of the presentation. On the first slide, honourable members, you will find the Limpopo wastewater treatment status as we have it in terms in the various water service authorities. The second column, you will see the number of wastewater treatment works in that water service authority, and then the total design capacities that these wastewater treatment works have to cater for. but then what they actually receive in terms of megaliters per day. And then the fifth column is not exactly the performance, but rather in terms of the loading of the wastewater treatment work, in terms of the hydraulic loading that it's got. And then in terms of the number of authorizations as per the National Water Act attained by these water service authorities. Now, if you look at the fifth column and you see the hydraulic loading of all of these wastewater treatment works, it will be quite alarming to see the total in what they are loaded. However, we have facts and examples set in the country that it doesn't necessarily mean if a wastewater treatment works is overloaded hydraulically, that it will then also, from its quality perspective, have to fail. If it is adequately operated by skilled people, it is possible still to attain effluent that is complying with the authorizations. That has been seen. But then also on the other hand, if it is not adequately loaded, it means it's too low loaded, then it means that the plant could also not operate at its optimum and there could also be effluent quality failures. The next slide would speak in terms of the regulation 2834 that we have, that we currently still use as far as the capacity of the people required to operate these wastewater treatment works. Now the first column on this slide is, sorry for the quality, it is a scanned version out of PDF, but the first column speaks of the works class. Now that classification from E to A or A to E is calculated from a perspective in terms of the size of the population the wastewater treatment works should serve, in terms of the quality of the influent it receives, and then also the technology that is being used to treat the water, and then also in the perspective of the fluctuations of the influent, and then also the environment, the sensitivity of the environment it receives. Now the higher the risk, the higher then it will be that it is class A, is the highest. The lower the risk, and then works will be class E. Then you have the class of persons that is required to actually be a supervisor, which is either class 1 until class 5. And a class 5 is obviously a person with tertiary qualification in process controlling, which is water control, a qualification attained through the University of Technology of Tshwane, TUT. And then a class 1 would be a person with about 15 years experience if that person has perhaps a standard 6 certificate, but if it's a standard 8 or matric certificate, then less years of experience are required. Then obviously the last column is just to say the type of person that is required to actually at least do weekly inspections to see that methods are run as it's supposed to be. The next slide would then give us the indication of what the status would be at the current wastewater treatment works we have in the different water service authorities. If you visited two wastewater treatment works in Polokwane with your oversight visit, if you see what is required, we require 12 process controllers to actually run those plants in Polokwane. We currently only have 6. However, if you see that we actually need class 4 process controllers really to oversee the business, but they have class 5, which means that the skill of those to supervise and to oversee is actually quite adequate to see that business is supposed to be done as it's supposed to be. However, if you then take the 3 shifts required, because wastewater treatment is a 24/7 job, and you need shifts that will be ensure a continuum of performance, that is where the problem would arise in that area. Capricorn is doing quite well in terms of its capacity, Sekukune not so well, and Mopane is doing very well, and then Wembe is almost on par. The next slide gives you the remainder of the province, Mogalakwena. You will see that it's got only 4, Morimole got 4 out of 27 it actually requires, Bela Bela 4 out of 13 it requires, Tabazimbi 5 out of 15, and then Lapalali's got 2 out of 18. However, honorable members, there are pockets of excellence across the country, and perhaps I haven't met those 2 people from Lapalali, but they should also be classified as those warm coals that provides the heat, ensuring that we can actually continue with wastewater treatment supposed to be. The next slide will give that picture. This slide would have been a beautiful slide if it was not a picture in space, but it gives a lot of stats in terms of the performance of this wastewater treatment works in itself. Now, if you recall, I said La Palale, if you take the fourth line of La Palale local municipality, yes, 14% compliance microbiological is not good. 70% chemical might not be excellent, but it's promising. 99% compliance as far as physical concern is good, which means that those two people in that municipality, they are trying to do the job. But I also told you that Capricorn is well capacitated, and you can immediately see it's reflected in the performance of Capricorn District Municipality's wastewater treatment works business. Then the others, not so good, but we also have to give credit to our public works sister departments that have taken the bull by the horns when we introduced the Green Drop certification program in the country to actually also participate fully and become fully committed, and it's still seen through the performance that is still attained as it goes along. The remainder of the province is not as it should be. It's in not a good state. If you go to the next slide, it's basically a synopsis of what we've seen on that slide and giving the compliance records. But the big thing that we can take, the synopsis that we can take from this slide is that monitoring is really problematic across the province. If we go to a wastewater treatment works and there's no facility on the treatment works to actually do the basic daily and or the hourly or shift-based operating monitoring, it means that the hands-on nature is not there, and this is basically what this slide is saying, that there are a lot of areas where the monitoring is not happening as it's supposed to be. In the next slide, we speak about what the department has done thus far as ensuring the compliance is concerned. As per the legislation that we have, notices of non-compliance have been issued to WEMBE for the various wastewater treatment works listed, Polokwane, La Palale, and Mokopong as well. And then up until the point where we also have currently a court order in the area of Modimoli Mokopong. We also went to the extent where we have delivered directives to WEMBE for the area wastewater treatment works, for La Palale in that area where it is, as well as Modimoli Mokopong for those wastewater treatment works for the spillages that are there, not only the wastewater treatment works itself, because the wastewater treatment works is at the end. Along the way, you have pump stations that actually assist with the flow of the sewage to the wastewater treatment works. And it is there where sometimes spillages happens due to inoperability, or as our DG said earlier, with regards to the lack of proper operations and maintenance. So the challenges discussed in the next slide would be that there are wastewater treatment works that are severely overloaded, as seen, and they are due for upgrade. Or they are partially treated effluent just because of poor process controlling or continuous process controlling as required, because if you don't have the process controllers on site continuously, it will be that in one shift it can go drop down and it will take quite a time to actually get it back up again. Poor sludge management. I'm sure that the honorable members remember that you have visited the sludge treatment facility at the Bell Precious at the Royeval area. And in the majority of our areas, as we have found through the records we attained in Limpopo province, it would be that attention might be given to the effluent, which is the liquid part of the wastewater treatment works. But the sludge part, which is solid part, might not always be managed as it's supposed to be. And yet that is where the economy of the wastewater treatment works lies in, the potential thereof. The process controllers and the maintenance teams are not compliant with the regulations set. Spoke about poor operations and maintenance. And then also limited access to the wastewater treatment works. The wastewater risk abatement plan, which is a proud South African product that we've developed in South Africa, which would help us to actually get to the point where we know all the risks and we actually are develop abatement plan to prevent this risk from actually manifesting itself in the space of the wastewater management are not constantly reviewed and implemented in this area. And then also obviously the monitoring part as it goes along. If you go to the next slide, what we propose to go forward is to continue with our process audits as is part of our Green Drop initiatives, and to develop an improvement plans together with municipalities and to align planning for settlement and towns, water supply with wastewater treatment works, so that we don't have a situation of over-concentrated wastewater as it inflows into the wastewater treatment works or we have hydraulically loaded wastewater treatment works. And also to develop and implement the water quality management plans as we have it. And those wastewater treatment works that are still operating without water use licenses means that they are actually operating without directives in terms of keeping clear of what law tells us to do. If you go to the next part of the presentation, Honorable Chair, then we just talk about the MIG technical reports. Now, the department assessed these reports, and it came to the point that we have noted that there is quite, unfortunately, a poor quality in terms of the reports because there's significant information gaps. Now, the Water Services Act has clearly stated way back in 1997 that we need water service development plans, and the decision was taken that these development plans, even though it preceded the IDPs, that it needs to be incorporated into the IDPs as it goes along with the planning processes at municipalities. But the incomplete nature or the non-availability of water service development plans actually caused us to understand that most of the projects as we have it are unplanned and in no feasibility studies, and then thus the non-compliance also then with the technical reporting guidelines and formats that has been given to municipalities to follow. Hence there's a understanding that there's a number of incomplete or abundant funded projects and implementing unregistered projects, and as we talk about the water service development plans, only 1 out of 10 water service authorities actually have a water service development plan. In terms of the considerations going forward, would be to commit to comply with this MTEF schedule and also to improve the development planning in terms of water services, which include both water supply and sanitation, and then to conduct feasibility studies to inform these technical reports. Wolves will require process controllers of good quality on the wastewater treatment side. The DG has spoken previously of the professional technocrats required in terms of engineering skills for water services planning, and also not only PSPs, but okay, also PSPs. Effect final PSP payment of the delivery of the products that they've designed or actually planned for, and adhere to the technical report guidelines format as been said before, and also to ensure that we have complete funded projects as we go along and we register the projects before implementation. Honorable Chair, I will just give a brief overarching report on the performance of the grant in the past 3 years in this area. As far as the bulk infrastructure grant, the ARBIC, that we have since 2017-18 to 2019-20, you can see that there was not as good performance in the earlier year, and in the previous year it was better in terms of 100% performance for Polokwane, as we currently stand at 46% for the present. And the next slide would speak of the WISIC grant as for the 2017 period. As you can see, that we stood then at a 75%. Percentage spent versus the budget that was transferred in terms of for the various municipalities. And then I just will speak on the next slide, and you will also see second from bottom there is a municipality called LIM 368, which is a code for municipality for a project that actually was initiated before the amalgamation of Modimolle and Okopong. So, which means that would be in that area. I need to apologize for not actually including some of the details on this slide as far as the percentage expenditures concerned. The actual budget transfer was 538,975, of which 80% was thus then spent for the year of 18 and 19 financial year. In the following year, which is the 1920 year, the current financial year, as per the budget that was allocated originally, we spent 8.2% to date amongst all the municipalities or water service authorities, and in terms of the budget transferred, we've spent 13.1% as it was given today. Chairperson, that would be the presentation as far as the performance would be concerned, as well as the RBIC, I mean the grant performance is concerned. I stand up. Thank you very much.
Thank you, Chair. That takes care of the performance of the Water Services Authority in Limpopo. You would have noticed that in this current financial year, Mopani has performed very well. There's a budget of about 40 million. And we haven't dispersed, and they haven't spent. We're left with 5 months before the end of the municipal financial year. So we still have glitches there. And chances are Treasury is going to activate, if they haven't already activated, Section 19 of the Division of Revenue Act. And Section 19 means that we may lose the 40 million. Sekopuni is also in the same situation. They're not performing very well. As you can see, they have a budget allocation of 70 million and we've only transferred 20. So you can see some municipalities are still experiencing challenges. And this is the money that is expected to assist us with the municipal bank and municipal reticulation because especially we see and MIG, you will get a complete picture of how they are performing when you ask COCTA and the municipalities to come and present to you. Because COCTA, in fact, we can source that information for you because it was presented at the last technical meeting, so that you get a sense of how RBIC is performing, how WISIC is performing, and how MIG is performing. Once you look at the three, you get a complete picture of how municipalities, water service authorities in Limpopo are performing. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you very much, Chief and Chief. Honorable members, you can interact with the report. Honorable Mikhotu, Honorable Tegi.
Thank you, Chair. On page 13, we have various challenges here that are experienced by water service authorities. My problem is, when we look at these challenges, these are the challenges that we saw when we went to Biani and Bulawayo. And we spoke about them. You know, we got explanations. We were promised that all these problems or challenges that are written on page 13 are going to be resolved or something is going to be done. I just quote one, which is major. But I will say it is the only one that is very, very important. They are all important. I'll quote this poor operation and maintenance of water treatment plants. That is what we specifically saw when we were there. And we were promised that something is going to be done about this. But yet we are still speaking about these challenges as if nothing has been done so far. And we are told there are operators, there are process controllers who are supposed to be making sure that there is proper operation that is taking place in these water treatment plants, there is maintenance that is taking place. So it seems as if they are not doing their job, but they are earning every month. So what's the point of them going to work and not doing their work, and then at the end of the month they earn salary? And the consequences of them not doing their work is that our people are not going to get water.
And if they do get water, they're going to get water that is dirty, that is unhealthy. So what is the department doing about this? All these problems, because we talk about these problems every day. Even tomorrow we may still be talking about these problems if the department is not going to take strict measures. What is the intervention? What intervention measures is the department doing about these operators who are not doing their work, process controllers that are not doing their work, or maybe these water authorities that are not complying to what the laws require them, you know, to comply with? And then we are told there is no monitoring. The people that are in charge, that are supposed to see to it that there is monitoring that is taking place, why are they not accountable? Why are they not accounting? Are we going to speak about this forever? You know, we're talking about this every time, every time. And I heard the DG said there is this new model that has been established, maybe that is going to assist. But from what I've heard is that that model that you spoke of is going to assist in terms of, you know, financing the projects that are incomplete or the projects that are still to be done. But you can have money, you can complete your project. But if there is no proper control, if there is no maintenance, if people that are supposed to operate this infrastructure are not doing their work, it's fruitless expenditure. It's back to square one. What is the department doing about this or going to do about this after we have applied the model, after we have completed the project? Thank you.
Can we look at, but thank you, I normally don't thank Fish to Swim, but thank you for this report. It gives an idea of the challenge that the department is faced with. Because these are real, now we are talking real. But Chair, can we look at what we have, like in page 5, and what we have in page 7 and 8, and page 10, in terms of the performance of these wastewater treatment? Does it link to say in page, an example, in page 7, Bembe, you have got 12 wastewater treatment, and then available controllers is 38 against 40. It's doing very well in terms of that number. Can we link it to the performance on page 10? Chair, this may need time, but if we could check whether and link the other, that is, I think there's another one that has got 2 against 18. Which one was it? Lepalali. Just making those two examples with page 10 in terms of its performance, is it great? What is doing? Because I was a worker myself, Chair. Sometimes it will be 10. Our productivity will be 50%. Sometimes it will be 3. Our productivity will be 80%. Depending on how you juggle around your other supercard. The chairperson has taught me this way, supercard. So can we have a sense? I don't have it here, but maybe you can just give us that. Chair, also, can we move people around? If you have got two there, while you are still in the recruitment process, can you move one from another place to another? Can you do that? And process controllers, and there's this word that you have used them. That's a big word. I don't know the page. I think it's under challenges. Process controllers and maintenance team not complying with regulation. Yeah, Water Act Regulation 1813. Can you explain that? Are you saying these individuals are not compliant? Or are you saying because of the conditions in which they find themselves in, are they not compliant? Because if it's individuals that are not compliant, Chairperson, then there's an issue of dereliction of duties, or there's an issue of refusal to take instruction. That is a very big statement that you have made there. Can you just explain to us, because we may allow you to go away with something that is not right. There's something that you have not mentioned, and it intrigues my mind even when I move around my township. I have observed that. You said one of the challenges is where the rainwater or stormwater, it's moving in your wastewater pipe, and that increases the capacity, especially in this big rain. But I don't see it as a problem here, because that the community needs education on that change. That's a very important thing in my view that you have raised, which now the comrades who are here, they are raised here. We connect in this waste, in this sewer pipe. So, please record it in your on the technical report. Again, Chair, even if when you do report, think about this old man, or think about us here, all of us. Integrated training is not a reasonable reason. Lack of integrated training, Chair, I don't think it's a reasonable reason. The department must find ways. How do I say I could not plan because we're not integrated? Let it begin. Oh, woman. Okay, I think all the toys are this. And then can we get it? No. Maybe stakeholder A was not part, stakeholder B was not. It's not a reason. Or it's not a reasonable reason. It's a statement. Next time when you come with that, please know that I'm going to cry. And then, one out of ten not compliant. Why don't you just say you are in crisis? You should declare yourself. Leader or minister is not declaring yourself. You are in a crisis. Or we, as a country, we are in a crisis, Chair. There's a zero, there are some zeros on page 20. Can we go to page 20? Tabazim. Budget revised allocation 20, it's all zeros. Fetakomu, you budgeted zero or allocated zero, but you transferred 90. That doesn't tie. At least the others are spending 100%, which is good. So those zeros,
especially for the two that I've just mentioned. The others are zero because they've spent 100%. But Mopani, it has spent 61%, but you've sent unspent is zero. How does that come to you? Check it, put it up, thank you.
Thank you from where you left it. For instance, in Mahalakwe, it's 100% spending on the water industry infrastructure. And Mahalakwe, the people, they don't know about it. Where this money goes? So if we can get clarity, we spend 100%, 500 million gone, but people they don't have water. Is it because of water, or we're providing water tankers? What is happening? And did you after visiting Tshwane and Valo, Polokwane, I think we should raise our voice, all of us, and say there is a big challenge on wastewater treatment plant, and therefore municipalities must be forced in terms of planning and funding, because it will not help us to think we would provide water which is not of quality, because most of water treatment plants are going to pollute or are polluting those water, or that water. We have to look at how we get, or you know, one of the things that I've learned from GM Marco was saying, if you go to, you pass wastewater treatment plant and the smell is too much, you must know something's wrong. And every now and then I pass from Laboria to here in Cape Town. There is a bad smell. It takes you in the bus until you arrive around Pineland area. Yes, so you can see the entire country, you have a problem. And you, the other route is when you go to Laboria, when you pass the airport area, that smell will accompany you until you reach the robot of Belleville and the other area. So which means We should say there is a need for us, all of us, to look at the challenge, because it goes to affect the provision or the accessibility of water to our people. The provision must be a quality of water that we give to our people, but if it's polluted, then it's a problem. So with using this example of Limpopo, so because it's an instruction that we give it to your team, which will be led by you, that's when you sit down around those issues and look at the budget, whatever you have, how do you resolve those problems? And in some other, before we go to another problem, probably we will be getting a report of how you are going to manage the situation. And what is the plan? You know, what is important is to say we've identified a problem, we need a plan with fixed time frames and starting time, which is acceptable. And we must deal with this weakness of changing of time frames. All your projects are supposed to have completed this time, the review of the new date is that one, without giving reason, even some reason are not convincing, but because we are not in the field, there is nothing that can be done. But we want to call on your team to say that the situation is unacceptable, and there is no, we'll never pride ourselves that we are providing water if the wastewater treatment plants are in this situation. So I think we need to make a business case, but then it will then meet your capacity as a department, including at the other spheres of government. For instance, in DPSA, tomorrow says, we want to avail all the resources that you need to deal with this. Are we going to be able to perform as government? So we should then look at capacity. I think the joint ministry has probably laid foundation for you to work together with the government. Come back with the solution that at some point we say we are from this point, we found it possible to be at this point, and this is where we are now. So that we resolve the issues. And the Gauteng should not be left out, because we have visited Gauteng and they are. We have recommended that the same thing should happen in housing. And with housing, we have even dealt with the housing where, fortunately, the MEC was here to present all their challenges, and we have noted them. But we say collaboration of the departments, both national, province, and local municipality, will do us best in resolving the challenges that are facing the two provinces. So, mine is just to say, looking at Moana and other areas like at least Polokwane, we have seen where the problem is. It was at least the Polokwane wastewater treatment plant has been refurbished. But there's a shame one, which they didn't want us to go there. We forced ourselves there. They wanted to show us the good one which is in town. And said, no, we want to go to Fishel. That's where people are. It's not working at all. And I've indicated that there is a concern from the Blood River farmer that the storage is printing in there. Blood River, and they are very worried that it's going to affect their production. And they might take you to court and support if they don't produce as they used to because of the storage delays. So let's look at this. And the most important thing is how do you consolidate this grant towards achieving a better performance? Because sometimes when you bring 20 cents and tomorrow you bring 30 cents, your performance might be very weak and small. But if you consolidate what you have, for instance, if your water grant and the mid grants are consolidated and goes to particular municipality, and look at the needs with relate to water and waste treatment plants, and say to within the coming 3 years, this is what you're going to get and this is your problem, and can we use the models of the DPSA to resolve the challenges within a shorter period of time. But there must be that commitment of payment, because municipalities might disappoint you in terms of payment at some point. So I think it's something that needs to be tightened up as we engage with it. But the situation really is not good. We have to do better.
PG and utilities.
Thank you, Chair. The Honourable deal with the specific questions. I guess, Chair, most of the questions are, we can treat them as recommendations. Let's start with the magnitude of the problem. I think we've talked about it several times. Even if you go to Tshwane, you know that Tshwane has 15 wastewater treatment plants. Only two wastewater treatment plants are functioning optimally. And that's a known statement. And the question is, if Tshwane, which is a metro, is grappling with wastewater treatment plants, how much more to Maluti Apofu? How much more to those small municipalities? We have a problem, Chair. I think we are the first to admit that we have a big problem. The challenge here is that because wastewater treatment plants are not functioning, and that has a bearing on the road as well, it has a bearing on the streams, because you are releasing raw sewer to our streams, which would mean the cost of treating water is going to go up, which would mean the cost of water is likely to go up. So this becomes a vicious cycle, which we have to deal with. We presented that 58% of our wastewater treatment plants are not functioning, and that's a statement of fact. And the question is, what do we do about it? And we've started this conversation with COPTA. In fact, the DBSA model, in fact, they wanted to go straight into this piece where they were talking about coming up with a model, because they've got this global fund where they can target some of the wastewater treatment plants that are not happening, that are not functioning very well. So it is a problem, and it's a problem that we have to resolve with COPTA, because COPTA's mandate is to provide support to local authorities, to municipalities. So we'll do it with COPTA. Again, we've discussed this with MISA, we've discussed it with COPTA. MISA is more of an implementing agent for COPTA. So most of the time we spend more time with MISA officials, because they are on the ground, than the COPTA national officials. You touched on the ATLO wastewater treatment plant. It's ATLO, you see it in, when you drive back to Liberia Park, as you are about to pass the old power station on the left hand side, look on the right, you will see that ATLO wastewater treatment plant. It's old, it's been around for a very long time. Most of our wastewater treatment plants have been around for a very long time, 40 years old, 50 years old. Some were developed in the 1940s. I think some of them have reached their life cycle. So we have to think about the new technology. There's new technology in the market. You've seen the Dutch, there's a Dutch technology called Nereda. We have South African technology, homegrown technology. You have the English, I think it's called Hybex, and then you have the German. So there's new technology in the area of wastewater treatment plant. We can explore that technology. In fact, in the plan, we ask all the owners of the technology to come and present to us. I think I counted about 12 new technologies that we can use to deal with wastewater treatment plants. In fact, the new technology is more compact, it's more small, but it's functioning optimally. And it's easy to maintain, it's easy to manage. You don't need 40 people. You don't need more numbers now to deal with that technology. So that's an area that we want to look at. In the case of Cape Town, I talked to the head of utilities, Mike Webster, who used to work with us in human settlements. And he was telling me that they need a significant amount of money to upgrade their water infrastructure in the city of Cape Town. So the metros are also grappling with this area of water infrastructure and wastewater infrastructure. And going forward, we've had a discussion with the department where we were recommending that maybe the restructuring of the department, because we're talking about establishing a water infrastructure management agency, and also the establishment of the CMAG, the catchment management agency. The catchment management agencies can assist us to take over some of the municipal infrastructure. And it should not be a hostile takeover. The intention is to be able to run it. We can get into an authority service provider arrangement, which is catered for in the Systems Act, that we can bring some of the entities to act as service provider, you know, implementing agencies, if you like, on behalf of the municipality, and they can run that function and then maintain it over time, because the real issue is running it and maintaining it so that it has a longer lifespan. Consolidating the municipal infrastructure grants and regional bulk infrastructure, or WISIC, that conversation started in as early as 2015. It's something that Treasury has been driving for some time. They have not concluded on it. When they wanted to introduce the IUDF, which is the infrastructure integrated settlements grant, IUDF development grant, the intention was to take a portion of USDG, a portion of MIG, a portion of WISIC, and create a consolidated grant. I think it has to be done with care, because the bigger challenge in all of these areas is not so much the capital part, it is the O&M part. If we're going to consolidate these grants, I would recommend very strongly that we take a portion, we top slice a portion of the consolidated grant and create some kind of an O&M grant. Because that's why we have a number of wastewater treatment plants that are not functioning. It's the maintenance problem that is we are grappling with. The country hasn't done a good job in terms of maintaining the existing infrastructure. So it's easy to deal with the capital part, but I think we also need now to shift the gear towards maintaining what we have, because we always focus on creating new infrastructure and then we move to the next one. We don't maintain the one that we've already created. So we need to master the art of maintaining this infrastructure. Maybe give it to institutions that are better placed to manage the infrastructure. Just like in roads, you have Sunrail. Sunrail is taking care of most national roads. All of our national roads are far much better than some of the developed countries. You can go anywhere in Europe, you will agree with me that we've got a very good road network in this country. We can do the same in water and sanitation. Take that infrastructure, which is an economic infrastructure, very vital for growing the economy, and give it to an entity that can manage it and manage it professionally. And that's what we are busy discussing with Treasury, COCTA, and MTBSA. I can ask maybe Leonardo to talk about the specific questions about those anomalies. We can cover maybe Memuko and I can come on the grant part, and Leonardo can talk about the Zembe issue. That sometimes it's not about the quantity. When you talk about capacity, it has nothing to do with the quantity. And I've experienced this in my 20 years in the built environment. But if you have a very experienced construction project manager, most of your problems can be resolved. Instead of having 20 people, you can have 20 people but make no impact. So it's not so much about the numbers, but I'll leave it to the expert. Leonardo is an expert in this field. Over to you, sir.
It's over to me, DG. Thanks, Chair, and honorable members. On the issues of the slide that we have here, number 20, talks to the grant in 2017-18. And we made an error when we were doing our presentation on Mopani, and we rectified it this morning. You see, there was a typing error there because we were in a rush yesterday afternoon just to try and get this information out, together with Lim as well, where there's the actual spending, it's there, it's 15 million, but the percentage says zero. So there as well, there was a typing and some deleting that happened, but it will be fixed. And on the issue of Mogalakwena and also Taba, it is Mogalakwena and Fitakum, where the project, yes, the budget was transferred and the actual expenditure shows at 66% in Fita, in 66 million in Fitakum and in Mogalakwena 50 million. The list of projects that were implemented in that particular year is available. I will make it available to the members by when I get back to the office, which is tomorrow. It will be made available. Let me just, it will be made available for the members, Chair. The list of all these projects is also available in our annual 2017-18 annual report, all the projects that were implemented in that particular year. That will also be able to show you the number of projects, what the projects was all involved with, and how many people benefited from those projects. Okay. Oh, and jobs created as well. We will make that information available.
Okay.
Thank you.
But the most important thing is whether the project has reached the intended objective. That's what is important to us.
Yes, and in addition, without listing, yes, I agree with you, bring a list. Fetakomo le Thaba Zim, we are just saying, can you tell us those zeros? Fetakomo, you just explained.
The Thaba Zim, initially we had allocated them 20 billion because they had given us a draft, a BP, but their business plan, when we needed them to finalize, we had issues on their business plan to say, let's finalize this so that we can be able to implement. That's when they couldn't come back to us. So instead of losing the funding that would have been lost if we didn't do the projects under Fitakomu, because in Fitakomu we had projects that could be implemented. So that is why we managed to do the ones under Fetakomu instead of doing the ones under Thaba Zim. We will give you that information, is available, Chair. Thank you.
Honorable Chair, I will just come in with the remainder of the reports. As far as what is the department doing with regards to the non-compliance that is being detected, I think that as per slide 12, we have given the previous slide, we have given a little bit of coverage in terms of what we have done in terms of the issues of issuing of notices of non-compliance as per the Act allows, the current Act allows, as well as the directives we issued, as well as taken the one municipality basically to court to attain a court order to get them to comply. However, we do understand that it's now also opportune for us, as far as the current review of the National Water Act is concerned in terms of the bill, to actually review this part to see how we can become more innovative to attain a better response. And I think that the DG did a good job in explaining with regards to the capacity we require perhaps to look elsewhere as well. The question that was asked, whether we can move people around, Honorable Chair, I wish I could, but unfortunately these are municipal members, officials appointed by the municipality themselves, so they're not reporting to us. But what we have tried to do as far as the culture is concerned that we tried to develop through our Green Drop initiatives before, which we will restore, is to ensure that we create networking between officials of various municipalities, which was quite well received the last time. But sir, your question is very pertinent and very, very on point when you ask with regards to what is the linkage between those slides that gives the capacity of process controllers versus the compliance. The DG is correct that previously we have seen, sometimes it just takes one person and to ignite the fire, and that's what I always was looking for, is to see that one person to actually ensure that the work is being done as it's supposed to be done. However, the law clearly states this is what you need and it actually says per shift. So that it shouldn't be that, especially over weekends, when sometimes the people don't arrive for shifts and then you lose the plant. Now, a wastewater treatment works is the only engineering work that you will get that is designed by an engineer and is alive. So it needs to be operated in such a way as you would operate anything that's alive. So if the bugs die, the bacteria die on those filters, those biological filters, then yes, Honorable Chair, you will smell it. Because if it's dead, it's dead, and then the water turns black and you will smell it from far. And I think that is unfortunately the situation that we have as far as biological trickle filters are concerned, that when it's not operated as supposed to be, or even in terms of the BNR plants, which are biological nutrient removal plants, is at the moment that the bugs die in that activated environment, then the water turns black and it dies and it smells and it stinks. The point that was raised... the bacteria that you have on your filters eats, it's good bacteria, so it eats the dirt out of the water. So that, we call it the bugs, but it's good bugs. It's not bugs you want to die, because those bugs eat the bacteria and the protozoa and the viruses out of the water. So if those bugs die, it means that the other things grow and the water basically becomes dead. It turns a very bad smell that you actually create. The point that's been raised regards to stormwater, Honorable Chair, it's almost like it's not a very technical term, but it's almost like a double whammy, because there are three points of entry for stormwater, and the first one is the gullies at home, as we explained to you in the field. The second one is if we are vandalizing our network and steal the lids of the manholes, that's another entry point. And the last entry point is also the point of where there's pump stations, and it's not properly secured, the sumps, the water actually getting in there as well. So this, but on the other hand, is that if you have a cup of salt water, very salty salt water, and you put it in a bucket and you pour more water that's not salty with it, then it dilutes the water. So also the rainwater also dilutes it, so you actually have that effect as well. But you are right, Honorable Chair, that we need a proper advocacy around this, awareness program around this, to alert people that the activity of actually causing stormwater to flow into the gullies will cause significant problems. Honorable Chair, I think that I've answered the questions as far as I could. Thank you very much.
Chair, just two parts. You touched on the Blood River. If we can be finished with more details on that one, we'll be more than willing to go meet with them, like we did with the Save the Val community in the Val. I think the message that perhaps we must get out of this whole exercise is that the entire system has to work. For instance, in the Val, when you visited the Sebukeng wastewater treatment plant, what you didn't see is that there are 44 pump stations that are not functioning as well that we need to fix. So you saw the end stage, the end of that process.
Sorry, Chair.
But I want to make sure that the entire system functions. If you look at those pump stations, the sewer pumps, some of them are not functioning, and that those pumps, the four of them, all have to work in unison to distribute the sewer. So there's a bigger problem that we need to deal with here. And lastly, as you have seen, there are four provinces that are polluting the Val, and there are 22 municipalities that are polluting the Val. So you have 22 municipalities that have wastewater treatment plants that are not functioning well, and all of them are polluting the Val. The good thing is that the deputy president has made it his business to call all the premiers and the municipal mayors of the affected municipalities. I think we should do the same in Limpopo as well. We should adopt the same approach call all the mayors of the wastewater treatment plants that are not functioning well and come up with a plan to fix it. But it has to happen at a technical level first. Thank you, Chair.
Thank you. And I think the one of the things of advocacy is important. You know, in Fubuke, things that we saw that were put by our people in the main roles, bad. So I think the issue of advocacy should be part of the program that we intensify to educate our people. Or as they put those things inside the main hall, what are the results? Because they must just, because sometimes when people are on strike, even go to one's attention of government to a particular activity, put things that are not supposed to go into the main halls, block the system, the entire system. I think in Sebuke it was things that were what we're doing to unblock those main moves could see that the problem. And there was there are farmers there that deliberately they blocked the main walls because when the village, then the grass become very green and their cattle eat green grass. So it's something that we have to deal with there in Sibuke. And I would say, because I'm coming from Limpopo, I thought cattle will find them in Limpopo and Eastern Cape, not in Gauteng. So there are a lot of cattle and there are a lot of animals, which I think is the reality that we need to accommodate them, because that creativity now is pushing government to a particular corner. Because they stopped the system that's supposed to assist the entire community for their own selfish gain, for their own animals. So I think as we deal with this, we must engage agriculture and how do they assist those farmers, because how they now got animals. I thought I grew up with that notion that Gauteng won't have any animals, but I have seen them in Sibuke, and there are a lot of them. Therefore, there is a need to attend to those areas. Because if somebody sees the system in Sibuke, can go and replicate it somewhere, to say, no, that's a very good method. So, did you have talked about Mopani was not spending 40% of the money of Mopani, and the Mopani there was a wastewater treatment plant, water treatment plant that was not working, which was new. So instead of that 40 million goes back to treasury, why don't you work with Mopani to fix that thing?
Thank you, Chair. I think it goes back to the planning, where municipalities are planning their projects. So if a project is not under the IDP, project is not in the WSCP, then it gets difficult from our side to be able to implement that particular project, because we need to ensure that what we are implementing is what is needed within that particular municipality. So going forward, we will ensure that we look into a municipality holding, so that we shouldn't just focus on the business plans that we get, which to say, okay, you have given me these business plans that are only not talking to the whole of your problem. So why don't you, instead of doing boreholes in that area and in that area, why don't you look at also your wastewater treatment plant? I think that's where we need to go going forward, so that we shouldn't have problems of retaining money to treasury.
It's an advice that go and talk to Mopani, because by the way, when treasury takes the money, doesn't bring it back. So they must understand that language, that when Treasury revoked Section 19 of Division of Revenue, the money will not be returned, even in the coming or subsequent years. You lose that that baseline. So until you go and make present yourself again, make a better case, maybe they will listen to you. So, and it might be after 10 years. So advise Mopani, and I've seen that like in metros, we've lost billions around on the USG. Treasury has taken that money. So, and if you look at our metros, they've got a lot of challenges that money could have been utilized towards in building infrastructure, maintaining the existing ones and all those things. But now we've lost it. So it's another story that it will stick with us for quite some time. So, and because there is a constraint in the fiscal, no one will ask for it. Even ourselves do not have energy to persuade appropriation to give you more money, because there is money that is lying in your budget that has not been utilized. So it's very difficult for portfolio committee to advocate for more resources for yourself if money is not spent. So I think that's the message that must be told to municipalities. Because people can lose all the grants, can you imagine what is going to happen to municipalities? And we are reaching towards that stage because cuts across the board, grants are not being spent. And you get the reason why they are not being spent, something else. So we have to, if there is a need for, we're showing them several times quality for them to be able to utilize grants. It will be helpful for the sector. If we lose it, it's the sector that is losing, not municipality as an individual. Because if the sector loses the baseline, then that will not be able to achieve our target. So we must go and work with Mopani so that we don't lose that 40 million. Whether it be through miracles, so that we don't lose that money. And that's waste treatment plant new. And it was opened by the president. For me, I take it as a sabotage. But that we don't take, because any project that is made after the president or is opened by the president, you expect everybody to make sure that project doesn't die. Because if you die, you are saying the country is safe, because it is opened by the president. And that's why presidents are not choosing to say, I want to open this project. You motivate and give them friends and plans and sustainability plans that we are going to sustain this project. And president, if president can know that story, there is a project that is opened by the president which is not working, I don't know how he's going to respond to that. So I think let's go back to Mopani and fix that, because it's not right. So honorable members, I think I can see that you are very now ready to go for lunch. And I'm going to thank you. Oh, they've been coming to the meeting.